Are the rich really that different from you and me? When it comes to money, sure, they have lots of it, but does that mean it doesn't keep them up at night? I'm not going to try to convince lower and middle income people that high income people are just like them, because of course that's not the case. But I am really interested in some of the similarities and differences. Sheldon Dick is the CEO of Greyhawk Investments, a firm that works with high net worth families. He splits his time between Calgary and San Francisco, which is where he is today. Hello there.
Good morning, Bruce, or good afternoon for you.
Yes, exactly. The time change. You have experience in two different worlds. You spent most of your career at ATB in Alberta and focused on regular people. Now you focus on not so regular people, at least when it comes to assets. Why did you make the shift?
Well, I think just the more focused and boutique oriented you can be, the more relevant you can be to an audience. And that was certainly the desire, although I don't think we'll put irregular people as one of the taglines at our website.
Right.
There are some differences.
Yeah. Now, you didn't grow up flying around on a private jet from your home base in Red Deer, Alberta. Tell us a bit about your story.
Yeah, there was no passing of gray poupon between Rolls Royce in my neighborhood, for sure. I grew up very average middle class in central Alberta. And, you know, so now I've had exposure to both the upstairs world and the downstairs, as you refer to it as.
What are the top two to three worries for families and for clients that you deal with? And I think it's helpful for our listeners to know the range of wealth could be what, you know, 5 to 20 million bucks?
Yeah, we have kind of two clusters of clients, of ones who would have, you know, call it tens of millions of investable dollars of wealth, and then those with hundreds of millions or kind of low billions. So, you know, definitely a lot of zeros for sure. And, you know, top concerns that are probably very similar to everyone, or, you know, getting the most out of the time they have on this planet and being happy and having health to enjoy quality of life, which is getting kids off to a good start and a strong foundation, would be similar with people of all different levels of wealth for sure. I think, you know, one of the top differences would be with great wealth also comes a great feeling of responsibility, and they certainly carry a weight, if you will, that they need to steward that wealth, not just for themselves, but for generations to come in an increasingly complex global environment.
Some parents want to make life easier for their kids, and others, and not that this is a false dichotomy, but others on the spectrum would want to ensure that their kids know the value of a dollar. What advice do you give them depending on their values, where they sit on this spectrum?
You know, there's such a wide range of different types of personalities and clients that it's really dependent on the client. Of, you know, you have the founders who have created the wealth, and as you know, as being an entrepreneur, that comes with a lot of struggle and a lot of sacrifice. And so, you know, that type of wealthy client tends to be very, very grounded and still lots of desire to struggle and learn life lessons and things with their kids. For folks that are maybe third generation or a little farther removed from the struggle period, then, you know, connecting them back to some of the stories of their founding grandparents or others is a part of the role that we try to play. And that, you know, that paradox that, as you know, so much of parenting is about, is it isn't always about making things easy for children, because with struggle is where knowledge is imparted as well.
And there's a lot of very famous billionaires out there, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett, who've made some tough calls about how they manage their estate planning, that their kids will not get the billions. They might get the millions, but not the billions. How do you help clients navigate those big questions, especially when kids might be angling for a bigger piece of the pie than their parents want to give them?
You know, there's so much good research now that folks can avail themselves of, which is so beneficial, that, you know, wealth that is earned is more valuable and has more meaning to someone than something that's just given. So creating hurdles or goals that, you know, whether it's achieving a level of post-secondary education or taking the first amount of capital and starting a business with it and creating some value on their own, that whatever the system is that makes the next generation feel like they've earned their way into things is just so much more beneficial for them. And that's certainly one of the core principles.
How do you talk about risk? Because if you're talking about risk with someone who's got, you know, 500 grand and this is their retirement nest egg, the practical risk is profoundly different than for someone who's got 15 million bucks. And even if a portion of that goes to zero, they're still going to keep a roof over their head. How do you talk about it differently?
Yeah, and I think risk is widely misunderstood in both of those circles. That, you know, everyone knows the proverbial don't put all of your eggs in one basket. But the mistake that I see people of all different levels of wealth make is that they understand that concept, and that's led to a proliferation of lots of different types of products, and they feel comfort in this naive diversification that they have their money in lots of different stuff. But the metaphor that I often use is if you put your eggs in different baskets, but put the baskets all in the back of the same truck and they're exposed to the same risks, you haven't really accomplished anything. And so what we try to do is educate them about what are the core risks if you strip away all the labeling and things from all of these different products, and do we have a risk budget, and so that no one risk factor can really impact our total amount of wealth. And I think that's relevant for people of all different strata of wealth.
What are some products and services that the very wealthy have access to that other people don't and might not even know about? Sort of the VIP room equivalent. It's not at a nightclub behind ropes, but it is the hedge funds. It's the real estate. What are some things that you can do when you've got assets of that magnitude?
Yeah, there's no secret handshake or knock to get into that door, but there are sometimes minimum sizes of investments which are a barrier to entry. I think, you know, some of the biggest ones are, instead of just, you know, buying companies publicly through stock markets, it's exposure to private equities or privately held companies and earlier stage companies and those sort of things. In addition to just government bonds and publicly traded corporate bonds, there's private credit and consumer credit and credit card receivables and those sort of things. Instead of real estate trusts at a certain size of assets, then you can obviously get involved in direct real estate. And those would be some of the biggest areas. Also exposure to things like taking on insurance rate risk that, you know, as people buy policies for life risk and hurricane risk and all sorts of other things, those form an opportunity for investors to get exposure to those things that probably not as familiar with the kind of regular RSP crowd.
Do people of higher assets think about time horizons differently, do you think? Given that they're managing a nest egg that really could be generations, could support generations.
They absolutely should, Bruce. They don't always, and it's one of the first conversations that we typically have with families when we start working with them, is that, you know, the portion that they're actually going to spend in their lifetime might be a very, very small sliver of this giant pie of wealth that they are in control of. And so that's certainly one of the first conversations that we have, is are you taking advantage of the fact that you can be patient and don't need liquidity or access to your money for decades, in some cases, perhaps even the better part of centuries, and using that to your advantage.
Very interesting. Sheldon, thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure, Bruce.
Sheldon Dick is the CEO of Greyhawk Investments, a firm that works with high net worth families.